been my song leader and piano player and for the last decade, right there. I thought it was odd whenever I first got here and they handed me a bottle of water. I thought, man, how long they want me to preach? But I'm glad that I got that bottle of water because I needed it so I could keep singing. I appreciate it. That's one of my favorite groups of all time. I've got them scheduled to come preach for me and or sing for me in my revival too. And that'll be at the end of or the middle of August. You're all invited, of course. Looking forward to that when we get to it. But until then, let's enjoy the revival we're in right now. Amen. I've had a good privilege to be with you yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, I really enjoyed myself. I really did, and I needed it. I don't know, I guess sometimes we get caught up thinking about revivals as preachers, that is, and we start thinking of who it's for, you know? I'm going to get this out of the way. We start thinking about who that revival's for, and you know, our prayer is always, Lord, whoever this revival's for, please, please speak to their heart and touch them. You know, it isn't until we sit in a revival sometimes in ourselves and we realize, boy, the preacher's the one that needs a revival. The preacher's the one that needs the revival sometimes. And I'm telling you right now, if I ever needed to be in church, it was last night. If I ever needed to be in the house of God, it was last night. And I'll tell you, I was encouraged. Sitting on the pew, I got a text message. Somebody says, y'all not texting church. Every now and then, it's all right to get one. I got a text message from my sister, Tammy Bowen. She sent me a picture of our jam choir, our kids' choir, practicing last night. A whole picture of them, big smiles on their face, saying, we're praying for you, Pastor. I'll tell you what. Them's the kind of text I don't mind you getting in church. I'm going to be honest with you. If it's just updates and status and Facebook and things like that, put your phone up. But if it's something to praise the Lord or something to encourage somebody, my goodness, you can't get it outside of the church. I don't know about you, but I've never gotten encouragement of any real value outside of the church. It's only in the church that I get my encouragement, and I know where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord and only the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me if you will. I think about revival, and I think it's not just about who's in attendance or the singers that's coming along or even me that's preaching it. Sometimes we all just need to be reminded about some things. And I was reminded on Pastor Appreciation Day about from one of our deacons, chapter number 4, Matthew chapter 4, if you're still looking for it. I was reminded about, before a pastor will ever pastor, he's got to preach. He's got to preach. And before I'll ever have any kind of success in life as a preacher, well, I've got to win somebody to the Lord. And I found that it's not just a job for the preachers and the pastors to win somebody for the Lord. It's designed for every disciple that will follow after Christ. He would tell us in the book of Mark, go and preach you the gospel unto every creature. In all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. And I'll tell you right now, anyone who's been saved from a devil's hell, promised a place in heaven. Boy, you need to tell somebody about it. And I looked at some of the people that he's called to do the work. This is on the end of after Jesus had went and prayed. And we know that he went and continued his own ministry and started it there saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But he selected his followers. And I believe he selected them by design. Did you know that he called you for a purpose? Every single one he's called into the family of God is called for a purpose. And if for nothing else, wet a line, drop a hook in the water, and catch another fish. He called fishermen here in verse number 19. It says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Listen to what it says, 22. And immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. You can be seated. Thank you for reverence in God's word. I'm preaching on fishers of men. I had that deacon I was telling you about on Pastor Appreciation Day. He brought me this big old fishing lure. It's about this big. And I don't know if it was just for novelty or what. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't never caught a fish big enough to ever swallow that lure. Never. Not even close. I've caught 10-pound bass before out of a pond. I've caught 5 and 6 pounders out of big lakes and up there at Lake Erie. I ain't never caught none of them that ever hit a lure that big that I know of. Maybe I ought to try and throw and see if I can catch one that big. I don't know, but I'd like to try. But in it, it had this passage of scripture of Matthew chapter 4 and 19. And I actually preached this message at our church. I don't even remember specifically when it was or how long ago it was. But I thought, man, right here in this revival, I've got an opportunity to try and expound a little bit on some of the things that Jesus has done. One of the things is he called fishermen. And I looked into that. Why would God call a fisherman? Why would he use fishermen? And you know, I thought, boy, it'd be right in order. We was talking about the anchor last night, and we're talking about the things of the sea. Why not stick with that for tonight? And I believe that everybody in attendance today, if you've been saved, you ought to be able to appreciate this. And if you aren't saved, boy, it'd be a real good time to get saved. Because I'm going to tell you about a man named Jesus. I'm going to tell you about somebody that loved you so much, he laid his life down on the cross of Calvary. Died for your sins, took your place. He became sin who knew no sin, so that you may be made the righteousness of God. You know what righteousness means? Just being right. That's it. You know what you are if you ain't saved? You're wrong. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, how about this for a bold statement? You ain't no good. Did you know there ain't nobody that's not saved good in this world? Ain't one of them any good. Hey, people do good things and people say good things, but they ain't no good. You can't be no good until you're saved. Now, hey. First of all, I want to tell you right now, he called fishermen because they were straight talkers. They were straight talkers. I'm going to tell you, they had to be straight talkers. I'm glad I got my deacon John Bliss here with us tonight because he's an old sailor from the Navy, back when it was cool to be in the Navy. Amen? Not when they were just making Hollywood pictures. Anyways, I'm a Marine. I jab at other branches. I'm allowed to do that. I serve the country. You're welcome, by the way. My brother John Bliss is a sailor, and he'll have to tell you, boy, when you're on a ship, there ain't no time for crooked talk. There ain't no time for going around and beating around the bush. There ain't no time to take a chance on hurting your feelings. Sometimes you just got to tell it like it is. Amen. You've got to tell it like it is, because I'm going to tell you right now, being out on the water, it's dangerous. It's a tough place being out there. And if you ain't quick to answer whatever order's given to you, there's going to be a problem. And the problem may be you may be out of the boat swimming. But they took fishermen because they were straight talkers. I heard about a fellow come to D.L. Moody, who was one of the straightest talking preachers I've ever read after. He went to him and he told D.L. Moody, he said, I don't like your presentation. I don't like how you get in people's business, asking them, are you saved? And do you know Jesus as your Savior? He said, well, I don't mean to offend you, sir. How do you ask him? He said, I don't. He said, well, I guess I'll just continue doing it the way I do it, rather than do it the way you don't. We need some straight talkers. I'm going to tell you, we see it all the time. Politics is ruining this world. Shout me down right there. Politics is ruining our country. It's ruining our city. It's ruining everything because they won't tell it straight. Everybody makes all these false promises. Can I tell you, I ain't never caught Jesus in a lie, not one time. He called fishers of men so they would be straight talkers just the same way that he was. He's sitting there making people mad everywhere he went. Did you know that everybody is affected by Jesus Christ when they come in contact with him, good or bad? Good. Hey, it's all good. It's just whether it's in their perception. Or whether or not it's good. It's good to run full-fledged right into Jesus Christ. Because had I not ran into him, he wouldn't have turned me around. Right. But every now and then, there's somebody that runs into the truth and the straight talking, and they just get hurt. They don't get the help that they actually need. Back in 2010, they made it a requirement in Texas. Before you get your license at their BMV, they made it a requirement for the teller to ask everyone renewing their license one question: would you like to be an organ donor? This is a fact. I just read this. This is a fact. They asked them, would you like to be an organ donor? The organ donors more than doubled just because they were asked. Somebody says, that's too forward. I can't go out and witness like that. I can't talk straight like you, preacher. You're a preacher. You get up here and hack and spit and holler. That's just, you're crazy. And I am. I am crazy as a lunatic. I know I am. But I'm crazy about Jesus. And if you've been saved the same way I've been saved, which by the way, if you're saved, you had to have been saved the way I'm saved. Then you can't help but tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You don't think that you could go around the political correctness? Ask somebody a question. Did you know? Did you know? You cannot get in trouble by the law if you just ask somebody something. Now, statements will get you in hot water. But questions, they're innocent. They're innocent. Come on, now help me with this. I say, you are on your way to heaven. That's rough, ain't it? Or I can say, have you ever given your heart to the Lord? And I'll tell you how innocent that is. That speaks to hearts.
Yeah.
Statements hurt. Listen, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words start wars. They start fights. They start rackets. They split churches. They hurt beyond all repair. And don't believe the lie that time heals all wounds. That's a lie. Because it don't. You know what heals wounds? Jesus. Forgiveness. Only His forgiveness. That's what heals wounds. You can't heal wounds with time. There ain't enough time to pass that would heal hurt that's in our hearts. But you know what could really heal your hurt? If the one who hurt you come to you and said, I'm sorry. I got one. Ain't never done a thing to you. But He said, you come to me and I'll forgive you for it anyways. I ain't never done you wrong. But you come to me and I'll forgive you. There's some straight talking needs to be done. And listen, I ain't talking about mean preaching. I'm telling you right now, I believe I got people from my church here tonight from Rosedale. I go out and I brag on them all the time and say it's the easiest place I've ever preached in my life. The day I preached my first sermon there, I asked my wife, what do you think about me pastoring this church? That's a fact. She'll tell you that. As soon as we left out of there. And we just laughed all nervously. About 8 months later, there I was, a pastor in the church. Calls were coming in from DeGraff, and I said, if we don't go now, we're going to end up in Indiana. It seemed like the farther the calls were coming, the more God was putting on my heart to answer the call. Listen, I talk about that church, and I brag on that church, and I always say, you can get up there and preach so free in that church, they don't even mind some mean preaching. They don't mind. I got a deacon that sits on the front row in the corner over there, and I promise you, I can just about, and he'll say amen. It's easy preaching. But I'm going to tell you right now, just because it's easy preaching and just because you've got you a good crowd or a good congregation, that don't mean give you the right. Straight preaching don't mean you just sit there and beat them about the head. You throw a dart, and I tell my church, that don't mean I just sit there and grind it around in you after I hit you with it. There can be some subtlety and some straight talking. And you think them fishermen didn't know that? They was with each other out on that water sometimes weeks. I don't even want to know how long my brother John had to spend on a boat with a bunch of men. And if they didn't find ways to be straight in their speech and good in their delivery, they'd have killed each other and them on the same side. I was in a platoon of men. Then when we left before war, we left okay friends. When we came back, we were brothers. And we never threw the first punch. Boy, the church ought to learn from the military and the Marine Corps. I'm telling you about unity. We can talk as harsh as we needed to. The debriefs would be so intense sometimes that we'd just be up in each other's face. But we needed to hear it. There is a world out there that's dying daily. Dying daily. Hell hath its large, its opening, Isaiah said. Hell was not intended for mankind. It was intended for the devil and his followers. But it had to get bigger because somebody won't straight talk them and tell people about it. They was as straight of talking as they could get. Got in trouble all the time even. But man, that ain't the only reason why he called them. He called them because they were strong. You couldn't get out on the water and not have some strength. You had to be strong to get out there. Listen, they didn't have them big engines. My dad's got that bass boat I told you about last night. It's got a 150 engine on it. I mean, it'll flat out go. He'll tell you in his own words, it'll haul the mail. That's old lingo right there. It'll get up, go, and that front end of that boat will just about stand up, and you feel like you're about to follow the boat, don't you, John Jr.? It's a fact. And he loves going fast. But you know, you can put that boat just about anywhere, drop it just about anywhere. with that engine, and in a matter of moments, you're well on your way out in the sea. Did you know they didn't have Johnson outboard engines back here when Jesus was calling the preachers? They didn't have it. So how'd they get out there, brother? They got out there with their hands and the strength of their back and rowing out. Now I'm going to tell you right now, I've been in them small boats, them little rubber Zodiac boats, trying to get out past the surf. And until you get past the break, I want you to understand, it's laborious, it's tiresome, it's hard work, I'm telling you. But when you get past the break, it gets a little easier. You can't even get out to the fish unless you're strong. He called fishermen because he knew